Welcome to Talent Hub Talk. I'm Ben Duncombe, and on this podcast, I will be interviewing prominent and inspirational figures from both the local ANZ and global Salesforce Ohana. In today's episode, I am joined by Susanna Saint-Germain, who is a Salesforce technical architect and MVP working for Odysseva. In the episode, we discuss the fact that Salesforce are soon to retire their recovery service and what this will mean for Salesforce customers. We look at the limitations that customers will have when trying to access their data if they don't have the recovery service any longer, and really who needs to be looking at putting together a data strategy, whether that's just enterprise customers or anyone using the Salesforce platform. We look at what a data strategy looks like and the important factors that businesses need to consider. And then who should be driving this conversation internally at customers, whether that's the Salesforce admin, the platform owner, or IT directors and stakeholders, who should really be pushing this internally and be aware of the limitations of potentially accessing data if lost in the future. We look at what a strategy needs to look like and what things should be covered, and really the problems that Odysseva are solving for customers broader than just data recovery and backup. Really excited to have Susanna on the podcast, a really well-known figure across the world in the Salesforce ecosystem, and someone that added a lot of value to our audience on a LinkedIn Live episode to record this. I really hope you enjoy it. I hope you get some value from it. And if you do, please subscribe for future episodes. Susanna.
Hey. Hey, Ben.
How are you? We are officially live. Thank you very much for joining.
Of course. Thanks for having me.
My pleasure. So we've got a lot to run through today. We've scheduled half an hour, but we'll see how we go and getting it all in. Look, I know a lot of people will know who you are. I think most people watching will know. But for the benefit for anyone that doesn't, can you give us a quick intro and just let us know a bit about you and what you do?
Absolutely. So my name is Susanna Saint-Germain. I am a Salesforce MVP and also have a few certifications. I have 20 Salesforce certifications now. It's become a bit of an addiction. I also am a technical architect by trade. I work for a Salesforce partner, an ISV called Odysseva. And Ben, if you don't know me, you might be wondering, why is Ben making that comment? Why would people know her? I'm active in the Salesforce community and in a lot of different ways and in user groups and also through a group called Ladies Be Architects that I am a co-lead of.
Nice. So we're talking about a specific topic today, which is an important one, right? Because there's an upcoming change with the way that that Salesforce offer companies access to perhaps data that needs to be restored. So can you provide some insight into what it is that Salesforce are retiring and what that means to companies out there?
Absolutely. So what Salesforce is retiring is a specific service of theirs called the Salesforce Data Recovery Service. And it is retiring as of July 31st. So on August 1st, that service will no longer be available. And I've noticed that there's a lot of confusion out in the community around what exactly that means, because it sounds really scary, right? It sounds like, okay, well, Salesforce used to protect my data and now they don't. What's exactly going away? So I think that's a perfect place to start our conversation. And what exactly Salesforce Data Recovery was is actually a discrete thing. It's like a very bulleted, it's in knowledge. If you want to research, you know, we only have 30 minutes here today. If you're really curious, you can search for Salesforce Data Recovery Service, and there's an entire knowledge article about exactly what it is. But I'll give you the bullet points. So what it is was a service that would cost, first of all, $10,000 per org that you wanted to use it to recover your data. And what Salesforce would do is they would say, okay, great, you want Salesforce Data Recovery Service, give me your $10,000. And they would, before they would do that, they would ask you, have you tried every possible other avenue to get your data back? Because this was a last resort option that a lot of folks never used. And as a last resort, it has a lot of sort of fine print. So if you could not get your data back from a backup, like if you're using a third-party solution or even just the weekly export, Salesforce would definitely try and point you there. They'd say, are you sure that there's no other option? And if you didn't, they would take your $10,000 and in 6 to 8 weeks, okay, so the process would take 6 to 8 weeks for Salesforce to do a couple of things. They would first of all, ask you, what date and time do you want to roll your data back to? And that's a really important question, because when we're talking about data loss, we need to know, like, what was the last time when the data was not corrupted? So they'd ask you, okay, well, you want to roll back to, I don't know, January 1st, you know, 2020. Okay, great. And it would take, what I've heard, and this is out in public knowledge, it would take Salesforce applied engineering teams to actually rewind the servers, like the physical servers that your data is on. It would take them up to 15 days to do that server rewind to find your data. And then they would have to extract it out in a consumable form. And so you might be wondering, well, what does the consumable form look like? Well, the ultimate deliverable of Salesforce Recovery Service was a set of CSV files that they would give to you. And it was one CSV file per object. So, you can imagine if you have hundreds and hundreds of Salesforce objects, the standard ones and custom objects, that you're now a proud owner of hundreds of CSV files with, you know, lots of records, depending on how many records you have in your Salesforce org. And that was the deliverable. So that was the deliverable of your, 6 to 8 weeks of waiting, was the set of CSV files. And it was then your sort of responsibility as the customer to figure out how to get the data back into Salesforce, whether that's using, the available tools, like free tools, or if you wanted to engage a partner to help you do that. That was a separate conversation. That wasn't part of Salesforce Data Recovery Service. So I think I'll wrap up just by saying, Data Recovery Service, that, like, if it's, that's too long an explanation, Salesforce Data Recovery Service was not Restore. I think that's like the common myth that I've seen out in the community. Recovery, sure, in this case did not equal Restore.
Yeah, okay, nice. And one thing, like, when I've been talking to my clients about this and asking them what their plan is, it's one of those things that you don't need it until you do. And I think a lot of people are like, well, why do I need that? Like, don't Salesforce give my data anyway if something goes wrong? Yeah. So when do people need this? Like, how do people lose the data in the first place?
So I think you brought up two really interesting points. So one is, isn't Salesforce protecting my data anyway? Like, trust. We hear a lot about Salesforce's, guiding principle being trust, and that is 100% true. It's, it's the reason why we've all chosen, a lot of us have chosen Salesforce as our preferred SaaS vendor, because they do take care of a lot of things like infrastructure and provide a lot of privacy and access, identity and access management, all these great things. But it was never, and it has never been, Salesforce's responsibility to protect your data. That's always been a customer's responsibility. And frankly, that's, I think there's been a lot of confusion around that out in the ecosystem. Maybe not with folks that are on this webinar, but there's some ESG study recently done that said like one out of three CIOs assumed that their SaaS vendor, in this case, Salesforce, one out of three CIOs thought that their SaaS vendor protected their data, but that's not true. It's just not true at all. And to your question around when do you need to worry about it? I think that, it's an important topic regardless of whether you think you're going to use it or not. We talked a little bit offline about it being like an insurance policy, right? An insurance policy that you maybe never want to have to use, but it's important that you understand how that policy works. Otherwise, you're going to have a flood in your basement and not know that, the cause of the flood wasn't covered.
Sure. So let's imagine there's, the recovery service goes away. I think it's in a month or so. And then I guess it would be human error. Someone makes a mistake and admin accidentally deletes a whole host of data. What position does that leave someone in if they don't have a backup plan right now?
Right. So yes, your earlier question too around, is it always, human error or malicious attack? So there's like lots of different reasons why there might be a corruption in your data, and your assumption is absolutely correct that it's most often not a malicious corruption or a hacker or something like that. It's most often like just a fat finger mistake or an admin accidentally running an operation, or a lot of times integrations gone wrong. But when that does arise, if you don't have a backup, there's sort of no record of that data, because there's two nuances there. So unlike a traditional database, like on-prem database, there's no way for Salesforce to, or for you as a customer to rewind the server and get access to the server. Really, the source of truth is your production organization. And I think we're all familiar with there's lots of challenges that come with that, right? If you're not version controlling your metadata, for instance, you're not obviously not version controlling your data. But if you don't have a backup, if you're not using at minimum, and this is what I would recommend if you're asking for my opinion, and I'll go into maybe a couple of points on why maybe this is not a viable minimum for a lot of people, but at minimum, you need to be using the free tools that are available from Salesforce. So that's weekly export, right? That should be at minimum something that every single customer is using, because if you don't have a backup and there is a corruption, there's no record of that data before the corruption. So there's really nothing at that point, there's nothing you can do. Again, to our insurance analogy, right? If you were like, oh, I really should buy flood insurance, and then you had a conversation with a sales rep and you were, in that conversation and your basement flooded, just because you were talking to someone or thinking about it doesn't mean that they can go back in time and, issue that policy.
Sure. Yeah, absolutely. So companies and people may be watching this thinking, right, I need to put something in place. Like, what's the kind of first steps? How do you plan? And if you don't have anything in place and you've been reliant on Salesforce and maybe not even known that data backup or recovery was a thing, mm-hmm. what are the immediate steps that people can take to address that? Maybe more than just the weekly backup, but putting a strategy in place.
Yes, absolutely. So there are a lot of, like anything with Salesforce or any, I think, interesting architectural problem, there is no just one size fits all data protection solution or methodology. There's a couple of, and it I could, go on for days, but I will point out like the two most important levers or decisions you need to answer when determining sort of which path or which, sort of tool you need. And there are two acronyms. So one is RPO and one is RTO. And it's recovery time objective and recovery point objective. And these are the two answers to these two questions should help guide your decisions around what sort of data protection solution you need. So if you think about the incident of a data corruption, there's the time before that corruption that we talked about a little bit earlier. And if you're using weekly export, for example, your recovery point would be the last weekly export, right? So if you had a data incident on a Thursday and you were taking your weekly export on a Friday, you almost have a week of data loss. If your recovery point objective was, I don't want to lose more data than 24 hours, you would need to be taking a daily backup, right, in order to get that objective. That's one piece. And then the other piece, on the other side of the data corruption, there is the recovery time objective. And what that essentially means is, how long is it going to take you from the time of the corruption to get the uncorrupted version or the missing data back into Salesforce? And if you are, and depending on what tool you use, right, depending on if you're manually inserting, manually typing the records back into Salesforce, obviously that you would have a longer recovery time to get the data back up and running. If you're using a tool like Dataloader and loading all your CSV files that you got from, maybe from recovery service back when it existed, that's still going to be a really long recovery time. And if you're, not okay with thinking about your admin or your developer or your architect going through your 600 CSV files that with the weekly export, you get CSV files, right? That's the format of the data that comes out of the system. If you're not okay with someone sort of figuring out how to load 600 CSV files back into Salesforce while your sales reps panic because their data is wrong, maybe you have to think about having a more advanced tool that brings some restore automation that can help make your life easier.
Sure. So once you've got that strategy, or even before you decide you need the strategy, who mm-hmm. do you see driving these strategies internally? Like, does the admin say, right, we need to put something in place, and who sees that through?
That's a great question. So in my experience, until relatively recently, I never thought about data being me as an admin or me as a developer. Or, even when I started as an architect, I was like, well, data is the end user thing, right? We as admins and developers and architects, we're interested in the capabilities of Salesforce and the metadata and all the, like, how can I make this business process automated and great? And I think that the first thing that needs to happen as far as, you know, getting in the right mindset to put together a data protection plan is that we as the Salesforce IT side, sort of admins, developers, we need to remember that the whole reason we are all sort of working in this ecosystem and the whole reason why our companies bought Salesforce in the first place was because we all bought into this idea of the connected customer, right? That was going to give our business an advantage and that we needed to be able to deliver in this, I feel like a Salesforce, you know, a keynote slide, but that we're going to deliver our customers, you know, superior interactions. And that's why our company is going to beat out our competitors. But I think we need to remember that that whole connected customer sort of dream that we bought into is ultimately driven by the data that goes into Salesforce. So that whole pitch is a long way of saying that I think it does need to be driven by IT a lot of the times. You know, obviously our end users aren't going to be like, maybe they'd wonder about it and ask you a lot of maybe sometimes frustrating questions about like, well, what happens, you know, what happens if the integration breaks or what happens if Salesforce goes down? We've probably heard all those questions before, but I think it does need to be driven by us, the people that know how Salesforce works, how the APIs work. I do think we sort of need to be spurring that discussion because ultimately, you know, it's not on the forefront of a lot of our senior leaders' minds until it's sort of too late.
Yeah. And that brings me on nicely to the next question, because if someone's watching this thinking, right, you know, this is really serious, we need a plan in place, but my CIO or the stakeholders for the platform would just presume that the data is backed up. Like even me, I use Salesforce. Like until I've really dug a bit deeper around this topic recently, I had no real concern about the data in my org. I just presumed it would always be fine. But if it went down and I lost it, that's my kind of whole business gone, right? So if someone's there thinking, how do I actually make this a priority with our stakeholders? How do I set the picture and articulate the challenge we could have if we don't address this? What kind of conversation should people be having there?
So I think the most important part about that conversation is that it needs to be a conversation not just about a tool. Because that's the way I see it going often. And I think when folks approach it that way, they're missing a lot of pieces because, you know, it's so much more around like the service is gone. And before, the service solved all my problems. Like that's not the case. The process of protecting data, especially with Salesforce, is around like the tools you're going to use. It's around the process that you're going to use to make sure that your data is kept in a way that it is more restored. We talk a lot about this internally at Odaseva, about your data being sort of in a place where it can be restored. Because like we know with Salesforce, you know, there are things like maybe a validation rule might be turned on. And if there is a validation rule, how do you want to handle that when you try and do a restore? Because restore at the end of the day is just a glorified inserting a record back into the system. So I would say the most important thing about starting the conversation around protecting your data is really understanding that it's more than just finding a tool to solve all your problems. It is around making sure you have the right people engaged in the conversation, probably the CIO, but probably, you know, business stakeholders, probably the Salesforce admin and maybe an architect and maybe even a Salesforce partner. Having the right people there, having the right process that you're going to build out to keep this data protection process up and running and consistent, even when folks come in and out of, you know, where you work. And finally, it is about the tool that matches your sort of comfort level with how much data might be at risk. And I do think that's kind of it's a complex conversation because not all data is created equal in your org. There might be data, especially in an enterprise organization, that's mastered somewhere else. So, you know, is there another copy of the data that you could use in the event of a catastrophe, or is there not? Or is there certain data that's more sensitive, like data that is PII or information that might have, you know, healthcare data, PHI, data that might be related to financial transactions? And how do you feel about that data being backed up versus, you know, the tasks that your sales rep ops log or, you know, share table information that's sort of in the back end that's driving the system. So I would say my best advice would be to start with the right people in the conversation and think about it as a project. It's not just I bought an app and now my job is done. It is a business sort of a continuity conversation that needs to happen with your entire team.
Yeah, absolutely. And then on the flip side of that, if there's a stakeholder that's looking at this and thinking, who's backing up my data? I've got no one in the team to do that. And you mentioned enterprise, and obviously there's a lot more complexity when there are other systems involved, but even small companies need to think about this, right? So If someone doesn't have anyone internally from an IT perspective that is looking at this, what kind of, like, do they pull in a contractor? Do they go to a product company straight away? Do they need someone on their side that understands the challenges?
I would say that they need someone that understands their data. That's the first step. So if someone is on the call and they're a small company and they're maybe a business user and getting concerned, I would say definitely the first step is to talk with your Salesforce team to understand what type of data is in there, you know, answer some of those questions around, like, is it only in this system or is it in others? And then I think it's asking, you know, really asking honest questions around, is this business critical data? Is it data that if, you know, you lost that, it would have severe impact to your business? And usually the answer to that question is yes. And then if I were a really small company, I would say that at bare minimum, there are certain things that you need to do to back up your data. I would start with backup, because without having the backup, everything else is sort of, you know, is sort of thrown out the window. So start with backup. If you're small and feeling like, you know, this sounds really complex and I don't even know where to start, 100% start with backup. And evaluate if there are free and available tools that you can leverage. So again, talk about Weekly Export. That is a basic level tool that everyone should be using, regardless of how small you are. And then I will make my, you know, I know that we're talking about Salesforce Recovery Service and not about where I work, but I will say that, you know, at Odasevo, we don't believe that anyone should have to rely on the Weekly Export, no matter how small they are. So we have recently put out a new tool called dailyexport.io on the AppExchange that is a daily free export. So again, even if you don't have budget, even if you don't have the ability to take on a new project, or if you have a small team, getting that backup through either Salesforce or another free tool on the marketplace like Odasevo's, I would say is absolutely the first place to start. If I could just make one more like final comment, I would say don't, even if you're an enterprise, like don't wait, don't drag the conversation on and say, oh, well, we have to go through this and that. The sooner you can at least get the backup taken care of, you can figure out your restore automation and like all that other stuff afterwards. But unless you have the backup, you have really nothing to work on in those later conversations.
Yeah, absolutely. And obviously that backup is one point, but then the restoration, bringing that data back in, that's a whole nother challenge, right? So that requires a different set of skills and experience.
So yes, it's a different process. It's a separate step. So I would say you would have the same conversations with your team and with your stakeholders. You know, are you at a point in your Salesforce implementation? Do you have so much data? Is it so complex that you absolutely need restore automation? Or can you use free or even paid tools that get the data back into the system? So, you know, free would be Data Loader, like physically using Data Loader to insert the data. We know that that's never fun. But if you have a very small org that just started and you only have, you know, a certain amount of records, probably you don't need the fanciest restore automation tool. But if you need something more advanced, there's lots of the partners that provide the tool piece, and then another set of right partners that provide that guidance and recommendations around how to set up the right processes and what to look at, especially if you have a really complex org.
Sure. Okay, cool. And we've got a couple of questions through Ravindra. Yeah. If you've mentioned here, how can you make your apps a bit idiot-proof? We might need a bit more clarification on which apps you're looking at. So if you could add that point there, that would be great. Mm-hmm. While we're waiting for that, I do have another question around, once you set a strategy, mm-hmm. how regularly does that need to be reviewed? Because, you know, mm-hmm. a lot of companies out there will have had a strategy that they put in place years ago, and then this drops and the restoration piece from Salesforce might have been their strategy. So how regularly are companies advised to be looking at their strategy?
So I would say that this is a great wake-up call for anyone, even if you thought, well, I have a strategy, so maybe I don't need to revisit it now. I'd say now is a great time to revisit your strategy in general. But I would say that if you have a robust data protection strategy that involves being ready for a restore, that you need to have restore automation in place, there should be a process that you are going through every release to make sure that the changes, and I'm not talking about Salesforce release, I'm talking about customer release. So when you push new changes to Salesforce, metadata changes, you are changing the way that data can be inserted and exported, frankly, from Salesforce. So anytime you're doing a release, you need to make sure that your strategy is still sound and that you haven't introduced new things. And I'll give a concrete example. If you have added a new validation rule, so we talked about validation rules earlier, or a new required field on an object, you have now changed how easy or difficult it becomes to insert data back into the system. And if you've added a new profile or changed profile field level security, you've changed potentially the completeness of your backup. Because by adding a new field and then not putting the proper field level security, whichever profile is running your extraction, if they can't see that data, then they're not backing it up anymore. So I would definitely say you need to be looking at that process on a release by release basis.
Sure. And obviously now you're working in a product company, right? So Odasavr, we've mentioned, you don't just focus on this piece. What other data challenges are you currently solving for your customers?
Absolutely. So yes, we definitely do data protection. So backup, restore, talk about archiving and things like data lifecycle. So we know that Salesforce, if we have millions and millions of records in Salesforce, it can start to get slow. And we can start to run into limits and other things. So we work a lot with our customers to think about how do you automate your data lifecycle? So knowing when to get information out of Salesforce and maybe into some sort of archiving or storage solution. We talk a lot with our customers around the idea of, really the idea of this, what I'll talk about is the CIA triad. So confidentiality, integrity, and availability. So we have lots of solutions too around making sure that your data is available and confidential. So we deal with data privacy, right to be forgotten, and sandbox anonymization, as well as what we call high availability. And we'll actually be talking a lot about our high availability product at Trailhead DX. So if that sounds like something when you hear, you know, Salesforce is 99.9, I forget how many nines they're publishing today, but you know, thinking about, well, what does that actually mean in terms of hours? And if you have a business critical app that's like running, you know, running in a medical center or taking customer calls that are, you know, highly sensitive and urgent, is that nine? Does that mean 9 hours over the course of a year? And sometimes it can mean 9 hours over the course of the year. And is that okay for your business? So
sure. Yeah, nice. Salesforce DX coming up. I think that's key for everyone to get involved in. Before we sign off, we've got a couple of minutes left. So you kind of touched on this, the new product that you've released, the free backup. But Asha has asked, what are some of the best tools you recommend for daily or weekly data backup? So you mentioned the daily backup tool that Odasavr have recently released, which is free.
Yes. And Asha, if you have some questions about it, I'll just add, it's called dailyexport.io if you're looking for it on the AppExchange. I mean, it is a free automated daily backup of your records and also the metadata. So you have that additional context. I would say that's a great automated daily tool. And if you want a non-automated tool, and I would say, I don't know why you would want a non-automated tool when there's an automated one that's also free. But, you know, if you want to do it yourself and don't want to worry about an AppExchange app, then you can always use something like the data loader, the Salesforce data loader, to extract your data. But you'd have to manually do that, set up all the jobs. And in that case, you know, if it were me, I'd probably just say I'll use the weekly Salesforce supported tool.
Sure. And Salesforce haven't, they've not pointed directly any other specific product. Ash has asked again, is there a suggestion or an alternative?
So they actually have said in their release, so on the, I would definitely encourage you all, if you have questions, to look at the their release around their retirement of this service. And they've recommended that you work with a partner or an ISV for backup and recovery. They've actually been recommending this. If you look on the actual old documents of when Data Recovery Service was live, Salesforce recommended that you use a partner to back up and protect your data. And they've recommended that for a while. So that is their published recommendation. They don't recommend a particular vendor. I think that's up to, you know, each customer to decide, but Salesforce 100% endorses using a partner for your backup.
Cool. And we've got one more point from Sarah. Says she was always told by Salesforce that metadata backup had to be via a sandbox.
So that is not correct. You can get metadata, you can back up your metadata out of production. Maybe they were speaking about a specific tool that only worked in that way, but definitely using any of our tools, so Auto Service tools, and I'm sure other partner tools as well. They extract data via the different APIs. There's maybe the Salesforce contact you were was saying, oh, you can't get metadata out with the specific API, but there are APIs that work in sandboxes, Scratch orgs in production, regardless of where you are, that can extract that for you.
Excellent. So we're running out of time. If anyone wants to get in touch with you and ask any specific questions, what's the best way to hit you up?
The best way to hit me up is on Twitter. I monitor that much more than LinkedIn. So I advanced apologies. I'm very bad at LinkedIn. I know that's where we are right now. But definitely reach out to me on Twitter. That information is on my LinkedIn. And my handle is @SunnyDalow, SunnyDalow, @SunnyDalow.
Excellent. And Odiseva do have a rep now. They've got people on the ground in Australia as well. So Felix, for any of my contacts locally, Felix is your guy here if you've got any questions today, I guess.
Absolutely.
Perfect. Well, thank you so much. I've really enjoyed the chat, and hopefully people are in a better position now to get that data backed up and make sure that they're not misreading their insurance policy.
Definitely. Sounds good.
Thank you, Ben. Thanks. Soon.
Thank you for listening to another episode of Talent Hub Talk. If you're enjoying the podcast, we'd love it if you could subscribe and also leave a short review. We're keen for this podcast to reach as many people in the Salesforce ecosystem as possible.